Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. So today, my guest is Stacy Ellis, and we're going to be talking about kids. We're going to be talking about, this is a tough time to be a kid. It's always a tough time to be a kid, I think. But I think these days, it's especially difficult. Kids face a lot of things that I'm thinking back when I was a kid that we didn't really face to the extent that these kids are facing. Peer pressure and social pressure, money issues, bullying, divorce, issues with standardized testing and academic pressure, you know, things like guns, drugs, violence in school. And then, of course, abusive adults, low self-esteem. That's just off the top of my head. The truth is that some of these problems, all of these problems actually, are really adult problems as well. And while adults have some coping skills, well, hopefully they do, the truth is that a lot of adults can't even handle these problems. So if adults are having problems and struggling with these issues, how are kids expected to get through these issues without some kind of help? And that's where we meet Stacy Ellis, who's a child and adult psychotherapist. And she has started an organization called Life Stuff for Kids. And this is really a forum for kids to express and exchange thoughts on life challenges. And life is very challenging. So, Stacy, welcome to the show. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you, Andrea. And thank you for your investment in having me.
Oh, you know, really my pleasure. And you know something, I have to mention a funny thing. You know, of course, I publicize a lot of things on Facebook like so many other people. And I found you. It sounds funny, but I found you through Facebook. And it's been an interesting experience with Facebook. I have come across some fascinating people besides you who will also be making appearances on Jersey Coastal Live. So you see, actually, there are some redeeming things about Facebook.
There we go.
There we go, right. How did you get that out there?
So glad.
Redemption for Facebook.
Yeah.
So the first thing, Stacy, I want to ask you is just kind of talk a little bit about your background and, you know, what you've been doing, how you came to your field. You're a psychotherapist.
Yes. I am a master's level psychotherapist. Well, back my bachelor days, I did assist at the Center for Cognitive Therapy. From my childhood days, I had actually, read self-help books. People weren't talking about, right? Kids, we don't talk about these things in private, personal, family matters. So, you know, I thought of that myself. You wanted to gather information. So in I went. Anyway, so fast forward, I did achieve my master's of science in psychology, specializing in biopsychology at St. Joseph's University. I began my affiliation with the APA and a member of PsyCHI there. But my work, I was a behavior specialist and mobile therapist for near 15 years with a non-for-profit agency. So I did see, as you well put, hundreds of children and families in their schools and homes, and provided behavior interventions for the teachers and parents that might help with the behaviors that were prevalent. From there, I did train for and provided trauma counseling at an agency, which I must get in here, Andrea. I'm so proud. The agency was actually presented by the National Children's Alliance Center, an award by Eric Holder. But it was, you know, for the work with children, obviously, and it was just a very intense and rewarding experience to be part of. I have now taken that training and can now provide it with my clients if and when it comes up. I do accept, you know, some trauma folks as well. Mm-hmm. I also did, as I kind of pulled back from providing full-time trauma therapy, I got involved in providing a class called Children in the Middle. And that's a class, and this was in Berks County, where all parents had to take a class who were separating, who have children.
Was this a class for the parents or for the kids?
For the parents.
For the parents, okay,
yes,
got it.
Yes. So to imagine that issues came to the court often to require, for them to mandate a class is, mm-hmm. is quite a commentary in itself, sadly enough.
That's kind of a sad thing, but I absolutely can understand why it is totally necessary, because it's the kids that often get kind of screwed.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
What was your inspiration for Life Stuff for Kids?
Oh, geez. Well, my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have, of course, served children and families, but I do not have children of my own. I do have one nephew who is such a mindful fellow, but I wanted to equip him, kind of gather what I had learned and always recall of what I felt myself as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to kind of give him skills that might prepare him for the challenges that we know children run into.
Now,
so it's kind of emotional education. Pardon,
the fact
yes.
that you even wanted to do that is, I think, pretty amazing, Aunt Stacy. Where did that idea come from?
Well, here it was. I was teaching it to other children, and in my work as a behavior specialist.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense.
And I wanted to just kind of gather what I'd seen, and kind of summarize it, and get the word out. Right.
Okay.
I've just seen so much damage and so much as far as children struggling.
And so you were hoping
and not knowing how.
Right. Okay. And you were kind of hoping to see that your nephew wouldn't have to struggle like so many other kids
would.
There we go. Okay. That was a pretty cool move of you to be able to do that. So what did you put together? I know that you also won an award for Life Stuff for Kids. Maybe, tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, at the time, I was living in Boyertown. It is a Boyertown area recreation of all things. Andrea, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
it was no word for recreation. It is an activity after all. And where do we put this kind of quote unquote activity for children? I was on the Boyertown Area Community Wellness Council at the time and providing, like a sponsor booth at the local health fairs, that kind of thing, to get the word out as well. So it kind of came as a surprise to me, actually, the award.
And what specifically was the award for?
It was for the activity. It was for it being a recreation.
Okay.
Of course, I'm not surprised you're surprised, but yes, for it being a recreational activity. You see, the website itself is something where, it's just for kids and it's anonymous, and they can get on there and kind of feel that they're talking with each other about these life challenges. So, in a way, it is, again, a something for them to do that they might not be able to do with peers and, without being shunned. I know we had talked about being shunned a bit ourselves, and especially with boys, as I mentioned, generally families can be private. There's also a kind of a cultural shaming about problems. Everybody wants to appear perfect, right? Right? But with
the
boys,
yeah.
To the outside world, right? In the meanwhile, really what's going on and is it being handled? Are we supposed to just, you know, tuck this away? Well, we know what happens when we try to just suppress or repress problems, issues, obstacles that mm-hmm. are not being addressed in our lives. They'll come back 20-fold. You can't put them away. So that's not a coping skill.
No, that is not a coping skill. Absolutely not. So as a therapist, what is your thought, Stacey? Why do you think kids are just having such a tough time of it today? It just feels very different than when I was a kid. Kids, I think kids, it's always tough to be a kid, to be a teenager. But why is it so difficult in this day and age?
Oh, geez. I mean, I can only offer a guess.
Mm-hmm.
To the best of what I've seen, and my gut is there's kind of a numbing, and to do with that shunning, you know, that kind of idea of buck up. We the family unit has broken down. We're not sitting at the dinner table anymore, right? We have more single parent homes, so the stress on that parent would be greater, and perhaps also trickle down to the child.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are just pieces. But I have this sense, and this is from children, that's the best I can offer to them and to you is what they offer, you know, just getting that out. And when they're told buckle up, that's not saying, hey, this is also something hard that I'm experiencing. You know, it's one thing, you know, and I even thought about, well, you know, this goes back in time. You know, this is the old Western days. Well, a cowboy might say, you know, hey, you know, well, let's go, you know, buckle up. We got, you know, but there might have been that pat on the back, I'm just saying, you know, kind of thing where there's that understanding or a sigh that you are taking on difficulty rather than hush, you know, not a word, just go, function, do, and juggle. You know, it's an intensity and stress.
I always think when I hear parents say, you know, buck up, or, you know, boys don't cry, or suppressing your emotions, to me that feels very dismissive to the kids because it's like you're not acknowledging that something is really, truly bothering them. And if a kid is attempting to talk to you and you just, you know, dismiss it, where do you go after that if your parents aren't listening to you? I think that's very sad to me. And I know, of course, that it happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How are they to feel like they matter?
Yes.
Right?
That's
dismissing. And not to mention, and here we are with what comes and kind of this possible or potential thread through life is okay, and then I certainly don't get to the point of how do I deal with it, right? If it's not even something worth discussing. So too much ends up not being addressed for our children.
Right. You know, I have to share this with you. I just saw this on my Yahoo News feed before I left my office today. A young girl from Minnesota, a college student. She recently had been diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, and she took some time to go visit friends here and there. She wound up coming to New York, and she jumped off the George Washington Bridge. And they found her body. They found, you know, her coat and like a backpack on top of the bridge. They were able to identify her, and she just said she just didn't want to deal. And, you know, it's just funny because here we are having this conversation today. I mean, that's the ultimate. That's the worst that can happen. But I just found that so heartbreaking because she made this very mindful effort to go visit friends and sort of have her last goodbye. And then she certainly chose a very dramatic exit. But she said I just can't cope. So that's, I don't know what you say to that, but it's pretty horrendous. And she, you know, young girl in her early 20s. So on that horribly sad note, what do you feel are some of the major stressors that kids are dealing with today?
And I think you mentioned quite a list between violent.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't mean to go in that direction if that's not what you're looking for, but.
But that is a big thing that kids have to face, violence. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And how are you to have hope when you are surrounded perhaps by sirens? You know, what are your surroundings like? By violence, or even a witness? Well, minimize the impact that witnesses also experience. I've had many, many clients who have suffered to the extent of post-traumatic stress disorder from being witnessed. Seeing mom get roughed around, is there a cultural numbing? As service providers and going into homes, well, not a lot is done unless it's coming from the child's mouth. And how likely is that to happen?
Not so likely, yeah.
No. Right. So, and I hate to say it, but the truth is often that children are also either overlooked, or when it comes to getting to the point of the mental health system, if they make it there to get that support, they may be misdiagnosed. Maybe they're looked at as oppositional, you know, oppositional defiant disorder, or being depressed, or they're withdrawing, kind of thing, instead of actually getting to the trauma because they aren't to speak about it.
Right.
You know, that might come later if you're lucky in treatment to get them there.
Very sad.
But yeah.
So what other kinds of major stressors do you run into with your clients?
Well, surely anger. Stressors themselves. I'm probably making a push for anger because I just feel it's such an important thing to talk about, and especially when it comes to suppressing and being dismissed, if they just don't have that resiliency, whether it's turned inward or out.
You just said the magic word, though, resiliency. Right. So here are these kids facing all of these horrendous stressors. And, yeah, I did list out a whole batch of them, and you could double that list very easily. And so what are these kids supposed to do? And that's where we were going to talk about, you know, social and emotional skills that kids need. And first of all, could you even explain what we mean by social and emotional skills?
Absolutely. And you hear a lot of the emotional intelligence words being used now. And that is basically being able to identify your feelings and others' feelings, as well as being able to discriminate and distinguish, okay, whatever I'm feeling, maybe it's really this. Maybe I'm not mad about this, or maybe they're mad about something else and it's not personal to me. So the discriminating piece, as well as identifying, and then applying that to your thoughts and behavior. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, so now that you describe that, so that is really kind of a high level thing to have those skills. And again, there's plenty of adults who don't possess good social and emotional skills, who fly off the handle at everything. And where are kids supposed to learn this? Are you supposed to learn this automatically? Is it a mindful process that parents are teaching? Do you learn it in school? Where does it come from?
Sometimes, right? Sometimes. And that's the question right there. It may or may not happen in those environments, and certainly is going to come to the peers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If not, and regardless. And that is why I thought that Life Stuff, if they're able to get on that website and talk to each other, so it's not some grown-up giving the direction,
mm-hmm.
You know, which kind of can be, you know, and in fact, sometimes it might be a healthy elbow in them wanting to kind of handle things independently. So there's a line there. But, and gosh, that makes me think also of if that support is not you, and I'm saying you meaning the
mm-hmm.
parent.
Yeah.
Right. It may not be for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, seeking and making sure that they can identify a support before it's necessary, so they have that presence and input. You know, it's also part of kind of having community when you have
mm-hmm.
support.
Mm-hmm.
It's that
mm-hmm.
time, right, where you can kind of throw things out and make sense of things.
Do you feel, as a therapist, I mean, obviously kids wind up in the mental health system and then they would see a therapist such as yourself. And maybe for some kids, that's how they finally learn these skills. But do you feel like this is a curriculum that belongs in school to learn these social and emotional skills?
Well, absolutely. I do. Because then they'll have that opportunity to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Surely. And it's a prevalent part of their interacting,
mm-hmm.
of their interacting in school, of them being able to focus, right? How can a class go on if kids are disrupting? It's being able to navigate, so to speak, their way
mm-hmm.
through. And I do want to add, Andrea, how important it is that they know, as well as in school, but across their life, what calms them, what helps them feel calm, and when calm, or if they, you know, need to walk away to get calm, because I do want to make sure we get some skills in too. But it's always that next step of knowing what makes you feel good.
And I guess
right?
that's something that everyone has to kind of learn for themselves. But let's say, you know, you're 6 years old, you're in the middle of a tantrum.
Yes.
Yes. You know, that's a scary time for a kid even, as well as a parent. And so if you don't have the skills even as a young kid, I mean, so what is the parent or what do you wind up having to do for these kind of out of control kids who just don't know how to calm themselves, or but because I totally understand
right
that
there.
About calming yourself. So what do
right
you do
there.
Now
about
mm-hmm.
calming themselves? Right,
mm-hmm.
and right off the bat, you and I say you, not you, but
I know,
you
know, I know
the teachers, but right, the teachers. Folks, we look
yeah.
at these children, right? But we look at these children as naughty. Instead of having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm there to validate their hard time first.
Yeah.
Right? And that's something parents can do. That's something that supports can do. That's something they would find also in not only Life Stuff, but any tool like that. Or if
mm-hmm.
it is table time, you know, just to be able to have that support. But what else do I teach them? By gosh. Well, certainly positive self-regard.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, by gosh, a tantruming kid, well, they have to be able to identify in themselves what strengths they have, that they're not just their behavior as well,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Also teaching them to pause, because you can have all the skills and information you want, all the degrees that you care to mention, anyone across life, without pausing, then you don't have a chance to apply all of that wonderful knowledge. So
stop,
first,
take a breath. Pausing. I like that expression.
Stop and think. You know, lots of mindfulness is utilized in therapy nowadays. But that's the time where they can have a chance to have power. Also, certainly, some of the cognitive behavioral tools, and what I mean by that, cognitions are just thoughts. So for them to understand the connection between their thought, feeling, and action.
There is a huge connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Some of our thoughts, you know, aren't true, for example. So, you know, do we just kind of listen or watch that script come across our minds? Because they're always coming. We're always having thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be able to distinguish again, right? You know, evaluate, if you will, the content of our thought before we act. And as parents, again, that's something that could be taught.
Well, again,
and practice with them.
A lot of adults don't even know how to do that. They can't. They don't seem to be capable of evaluating their thoughts, and they just blurt out whatever. So, you know, and I feel strongly about role models. If you as a kid see your parents flying off the handle, that's what you know. You're not seeing a very mindful behavior right there. So I think, you know, parents have to really be careful about modeling better behavior in their own kids.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. How powerful would it be for the child to see the parent say, hey, I need to calm down and walk away.
And
I will come back and talk, as we're recommending a child does, right?
That's right.
Also, in our relationships, and pardon if I'm talking over, my gosh, but I wanted in relationships that the parent might have, the child is learning, right, how to be treated, how to treat, and as well how they are treated, like you mentioned. As the child, you want them to be respectable and respect, but do you respect them?
Well, that's right.
Are their feelings and thoughts something worthwhile that is shown to them by giving them the time as well and what the tone of the conversation is? So, again, why wait for it to be a struggle, right, when we might be able to address it calmly? And I don't care if it's even, you know, cleaning your room. You might have a struggle about that, folks. Right?
You will.
But why wait until the... Of course there will.
You don't want to be fighting it in the heat of the moment. I feel, you know, like you want to be doing these things mindfully every day for your kids so that they're not, you know, it doesn't escalate into that crazy struggle. I know it's easier said than done, of course. And, you know, we only have about a minute and a half left. I told you, it always goes so quickly.
My gosh, yes.
First, I do want to mention, because you made me aware of Goldie Hawn's foundation, the Hawn Foundation. And on my blog after the show, I am going to put a link to that for people who might want to take a peek at it, because it's really very much like we're discussing today. It's all about teaching kids social and emotional skills for challenges that they will face in life. It's not a question of if they face it. It's, you know, kids are going to face challenges. And this is something that they're trying to put into school curriculums. So I was really fascinated by it. So I wanted to thank you for making me aware of it. I think it's there are a lot of excellent resources on that website. Again, I will make that available. But Stacy Ellis, I want to say thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate everything that you had to say. And again, I will put links out on my blog after the show. And I think that, you know, kids deserve respect, and parents have to be kind of aware of that. You know, remember, parents, you're a role model. Okay, can 30 minutes change your life? Maybe. So keep listening to Jersey Postal Live. Till next time, I'm Andrea Tarr. Thank you for listening today. Stacy Ellis, thank you for being with me. Talk to you soon, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.